This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. This week, as promised, we are covering COVID-19, and we will be for at least the next few weeks whilst this pandemic continues. We wanted to refocus the show slightly, given this is likely the most pressing thing on your mind as a listener, but this is also going to be a massive factor in your mental health right now, as it is for us. And those hard-hitting stats you'll be getting on the news and just all around you on social media right now, which is causing a lot of panic, things like panic buying as well. So we'll be instead trying to find the links that are most relevant to each of us. We'll be looking at how much this is going to affect us realistically and not just worst case scenarios. We'll also be putting in some positives in terms of some more lighthearted conversation and some funny things that we're finding on the internet or content we'd recommend watching if you are self-isolating or social distancing, as you should be. We are, of course, aware that a lot of people will find it more helpful to distance from the sheer quantity of information about this pandemic right now, and that's completely understandable. And so therefore, we are going to be balancing the show with more lighthearted conversation and sort of day-to-day chatting between Danielle and I as we adjust to spending time together over Skype right now.
Yeah.
Cool. Pete, for the sake of this, I think, can you just leave in more of the bits of us like chatting in between the actual stuff? I think it might just make it more lighthearted. So you can leave in that last bit, just as potentially a way to break it up and make it feel less like a news program. Might as well give people the behind the scenes, because we're not recording as usual. We're recording over Skype. Everything is a little bit up in the air. And I think it's fair to reflect that. It's honest. So
yeah, the fact that I'm sat on tender hooks in case my children burst through the door and ask for yet another snack or a drink or something. And it's only day one.
I love that, though. This is how you know I'm not around kids much. I don't really have any idea how common that is, but speaking to you, it seems like every 5 minutes they want another snack.
Yeah, they seem to be hungry all the time. I'm like, oh my God, like you're at school, you don't eat this much, surely. But then they're preoccupied, aren't they? You know, at home, there are moments of, look, it's day one. I can't even talk about what might become because, good, you know, if this is 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, oh my goodness. So far, I'm treating it like a bit of a Sunday where we may have done a bit of homework anyway. And now it's just afternoon relaxation time. And it's sunny. Like, come on, get in the garden. Stop eating.
Yeah, burn a bit of it off while you still can.
Yeah.
I love that. But no, it is really tricky. I can't help but think about myself as a kid. And like, I don't think I did ask for snacks all the time, but then I probably would have just stolen the biscuit tin.
Yeah, chocolate in it, definitely.
Yeah, I was telling Danielle earlier that I've gone and, how can I phrase this that doesn't sound, it sounds like I'm following the rules. I'm not so much stockpiling as I'm just, I haven't seen that much Nutella on the shelves recently. So when I went to like the big Tesco that I have to walk to, it's a bit further away, and I saw that they had the kilogram ones, you know, like basically the ones you see on pancake stalls, like...
Is that what it was? I didn't even know they were that big. I just thought you said you bought two Nutella tubs. I didn't know it was those like wholesale size ones.
Yeah, Kat, who I live with, has stocked up on 2.5 kilograms of potatoes. I mean, that sounds like a lot. That is a bag of potatoes. Whereas I have 2 kilogram jars of Nutella, and I don't feel guilty about it because they'll keep me in the level of sugar to which I've grown accustomed. And and it's not exactly a necessity food product, so I'm not surprised there was loads left, even with some other gaps on the shelf for more important foods. I don't even know if it counts as food. Does Nutella count as food?
No, I was just about to say that. I'm sitting here thinking necessity food.
It's not exactly bread, is it? But no. I do have bread to go with it. We'll see how things go. How long it takes before I'm just eating it from the jar.
Oh, God.
So we should talk a little bit about where we're at now. So right now, as we've mentioned, Danielle and I are recording via Skype from our homes. We are doing our best to minimize the amount we're going outside, obviously still going out for food, still going out for walks, completely fine right now. We are recording this episode on Monday, and likely the future episodes will be recorded on the Mondays before they go out as well. So please do bear that in mind if things have changed, which I expect they may well have done by the time you hear this episode. So yeah, as of today, other than restaurants, bars, cafes, and generally places that encourage people to gather, so National Trust properties, big museums, places where people would come to collect en masse, really, have all been told to close by the government. Shops generally are still open, although they are gradually closing if they're non-essential. All the supermarkets are still open. That's basically where we are in terms of the situation today in the UK. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that, Danielle?
No, I just find that really difficult. That's like the most difficult thing, like hearing you even just summarize it, you know, about what is open and what isn't. It's just crazy that that's in our hands, really. I know we'll go on to talk about more in the episode, but just hearing you actually try and put it into a summary of what's going on in the current situation, it's just so varied, you know, throughout the country, throughout Birmingham. It's like variety of decisions that are being made is what is just really confusing for everyone right now.
So as best as I can do, I'm going to try and translate that into the simplest terms possible. I do have the advantage of practice because the person who I live with is staying away from news. And I think for many people that experience anxiety, that's probably for the best, that approach. It's important to know the necessities, but watching news several times a day, like I am at the moment, would stress her out in a way that it makes me feel more safe and in control, having that volume of information. And strangely to me, it feels like things are moving slower because I'm watching a lot of news that's repeating. And so therefore it feels a little bit like not much is happening, even though there is a real speed to these changes. So I have practice in translating the news for the person I live with, basically.
Oh, you are good at it, Bob.
I do my best. So yeah, we're really glad to be covering this and hopefully through the things we share, offering some reassurance, some reality among a lot of the mixed messages that are out there. And, you know, a part of your routine is staying as normal. We will be here. We will keep recording. We have the equipment and the setup to record over Skype, luckily. Danielle in particular may sound a little bit more robotic because I'm on one of our usual mics. However, she is not.
Robotic, Danielle are two words that are just not ever, should never be put together in a sentence.
You said that and you sounded particularly robotic when you said it.
No, but you're right, the tech might change a bit in how I sound, but hopefully I'll bring the energy.
In fact, we'll come back to talking about how we're adjusting to the changes later in the episode. So after the ad break, rather than an interview, it'll be Danielle and I talking about our own experience and talking about tips and just general ideas to keep yourself occupied, to keep your mental health looked after as much as you can. And for now, we've got a few stats as usual. First off, there's a site called Wordometers that is tracking the number of cases and the stats from all over the world. And I have been independently checking it to make sure it's accurate. And so there's just two statistics I wanted to read from that live. So we have the very latest, although bear in mind, we are recording on Monday. Of the active cases globally at the moment, only 5% of them are considered to be serious or critical. that's something that's giving me some solace, that as much as this pandemic is continuing to spread, the level at which the disease is at its worst in people is actually relatively low, only 5%. So that's the point at which this is described as a serious or critical threat to you. So that means for the remaining 95%, it's considered a mild condition. And in fact, that 5% is likely to be even lower in real terms because so many cases are undiagnosed, and that's disproportionately those that have mild symptoms as well.
Being here in the moment. So those stats right now are great and reassuring, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think the focus that I'm choosing to have, and I've certainly encouraged a lot of people I know to focus in this way, is how this is going to affect you in real terms. You know, not the worst case scenario, but what the effect actually is likely to be, and how at risk you actually are, because luckily for many of us, the risk is quite low. And there may be many of us that have had the condition and not even realized because our symptoms have been so low. That is not a reason to say, oh, you're fine, go out and socialize. You could still be a carrier. You could still cause risk to others. But there are a proportion of people that will not even realize they're affected. And so that's something that, yeah, that can sound scary. But if you actually think about experiencing a condition and not getting any symptoms, in many ways to me feels a little bit like a free pass, at least for yourself, although it can be causing risk to others.
Absolutely. And you know what, Bob, I just really want to highlight what you just said a minute ago, which you just kind of moved through really quickly, is you said the focus that I'm choosing to take. And I think that is so powerful, and not just with COVID-19, but in every way, in the way we live our lives, especially when it comes to our mental health, because that choice is so powerful, that choice of thought, especially people who may start experiencing some symptoms of poorer mental health than usual. For the general population, are absolutely going to have dips. I do think that what you just said is really, really key. How you choose to approach it, how you choose to think about it, what you choose to be your focus, all have that choice. We have that power. I really believe in that.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess what a lot of this comes down to is focusing on the things that you can control, that this is a global health issue. It is going to be big and scary because it is out of our control. However, for the majority of us, I would argue that the bigger threat to us is how this is going to affect our mental health. And that is something that may sound quite radical, given that there hasn't been a massive amount of coverage of mental health impact so far, but certainly the social distancing, and if our country ends up going into a quarantine type status or any kind of lockdown, then that is going to be exacerbated further, how that can impact people's mental health. So that is something that we can focus on, we can be proactive on, and actually for many of us, that could be the thing that will affect our day-to-day health more. And just to illustrate that, we have some good statistics around recovery and how many people are recovering quickly from this condition already. So right now, again, from Worldometers, they've reported that over 100,000 people have already recovered from this condition. So whilst it is moving fast, it is also something that people are recovering from fast as well. That's a nice statistic to keep an eye on as well. That won't be reported as much on the news as they track the spread. They may be neglecting tracking the spread of those that have recovered as well. Is there anything you wanted to say on that one, Danielle?
No.
Okay. And then the last thing in reference to recovery rate as well, I found this very reassuring. A paper published in the Chinese Journal of Epidemiology, which was based on 72,314 confirmed, suspected, or asymptomatic cases of COVID-19 in China, found that recovery rates were 99.6% in those aged 40 to 49, 99.8% in those aged 10 to 39, and 100% in those younger than this, not a single case where someone hadn't recovered. And even in the oldest group they recorded, the recovery rate was found to be over 80%. Those people that are older are more at risk, but the recovery rates are still massive. And for those that are younger, the recovery rates are even bigger.
Positive, isn't it?
It is, definitely. So one more thing we'll discuss in this segment of the episode is a potential positive. And we'll be sharing one of those every week as the news develops, of how these changes to our lives across the world can be having some side effects for the good as well. So first off, we've got an environmental effect. So this article is from Euronews and the title is Venice's famously polluted canals clear as tourists stay away due to COVID-19. I'll just read a section of that. Like all Italians, Venetians have spent recent days in lockdown, mostly confined to their homes as Italy reels from the coronavirus pandemic. But for residents of the world-famous city, built around a network of canals, there has been a sliver of silver lining. The water in Venice's famously congested waterways is the clearest it has been for years. Once upon a time, residents of Venice would swim in the lagoon waters, but the onset of mass tourism and the corresponding increase in boat traffic in recent decades has made this rare. So I thought that was fascinating to see in what has actually been quite a short time these measures have been in place in Venice. There's already been massive environmental recovery. And further reading I did around this mentioned that the fish population is recovering and there's fish in parts of Venice that there haven't been for years.
Oh, it's just so nice to hear that. Actually, I'm surprised we've not seen any of that on the news. Or am I? But yeah, I came back from Venice at the end of Feb. We got back luckily, and with regard to the environment, I can just imagine it was just heaving when we went, and the waters were amazing. It was great being on the boats and stuff, but we did even talk about then, like, the environmental challenges that they must have and how they managed to keep the water at some kind of, you know, clean, and are there fish? And, you know, I remember us actually having that conversation. And it's funny because Venice is all on water, so there are no cars or, you know, there's no fumes or petrol. So it's like you don't have that, but you have then the water side of it, you know, and all the wildlife and all the things that live, you know, the fish that live in the water. So thinking about that being their challenge, it's quite interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, giving their chance, their place chance to breathe a bit.
For sure. And none of this is to diminish the massive impact this is having negatively on people's lives there. But we will each week look at a different factor of where there is, like the article described, a slither of a silver lining. Some of them quite funny. Kat found one about elephants that had raided a vineyard and got drunk off rice wine and so just all fell asleep. And you just
loads, elephants are massive,
so yeah,
they had like loads, like grogging it back,
and you just don't think about it, but actually it doesn't take much for the nature around us to start encroaching on our space. So on that more positive note, we'll have a quick break and then we'll get back to me and Danielle talking about how things are going for us, changes we've put in place, some tips we've got for maintaining your mental health in this time, and a few things we've been doing towards that as well. But first, who's our sponsor? Let's find out. And so we're back. So Danielle, do you mind sharing a little bit about what these changes so far have meant for you?
Children. Yeah, the kids being off. But we were due an Easter holiday, right? So I'm not overly worried. I'd had to already kind of postpone, like, work around that with my work, although they were still booked in, like, a holiday scheme, which they were really looking forward to going into. But in general, I feel quite calm. But then I've worked this year more from home than ever. So I feel like I've really been challenged you know, me being, you know, being at home and on my own and working for myself and really pushing through has been really hard for me and my own mental health this year. And I've kind of come to terms with that. So this isn't really any different. Although I have got the kids at home, I'm quite used to not being as busy and as interactive with loads and loads of people as I used to be. So I feel like I'm a bit prepared for the whole isolation thing. However, yeah, the kids thing is just day one. So far, so good. But I mean, I'm lucky. I've got great children. The girls are brilliant. But, you know, they do argue. They do get on each other's nerves. And, you know, the noise levels rise and rise and rise. But again, it's how you choose to look at it, how you choose to focus on it, because so many more people worse than there are. And I'm just grateful that I'm here with my children. So far, we're quite healthy and sun shining today, and I've got you on Skype with your lovely face, so I'm all right. I just really do feel for those people who aren't, and you know, there's a lot of poorly people out there, and every night I do have a little moment and sit and just reflect, and you know, my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, it is a weird time of reflection because there seems to be so many strange conflicts that on one hand we're recording now and the weather is lovely and it's really warm. It almost seems ironic given that we're meant to be social distancing and, you know, staying inside more than we usually would. But absolutely, we have the time to reflect, and I'm already feeling that my life is a lot simpler, like you doing a lot of work from home and working for myself in general. My day-to-day hasn't changed as much as a lot of people's has. And so I think for both of us, we do have that kind of advantage. We're used to self-motivating. We're used to planning out a day in lieu of having a boss to do that for us. That's definitely an advantage, but there's also huge challenges to how that's going to affect our work. But at the same time, I'm so grateful to have this, you know, something to keep busy with, something to focus on. It means that whatever else changes, I'll still be checking in with you every Monday. Our listeners will still get to keep some routine as well. And from a lot of the mental health sources I've been reading up on, keeping your routine is really helpful. And my version of that is I'm taking the excuse to do everything slower. So if that means I'm like committing to getting dressed every day, I'm taking longer to choose out an outfit and root around in my wardrobe and find fun things I haven't worn for ages, because it doesn't matter. You know, you may not need to get dressed for the same reasons, but you can still get dressed for you and still have fun with that.
We saw Kat earlier, didn't we? Bobby's housemate, Kat. She was like, oh, hi. Just said in the background when we were catching up and they'd been at Tesco, and Kat was like dolled. I mean, she's always got amazing lips on anyway, but red lips, eyes on, lashes done. I was like, Kat. And I'm like, my trackies. I'm like, Kat, you look so dull. And she's like, well, you know, I just thought, why not? I've got loads of cool makeup I want to have a play with. I'm going out to Tesco. And I thought, you know, that is exactly what we all need to do. So what? Put something on that you never normally wear. You know, I said to the girls of the day, my daughters, when I say the girls, that's who I mean. I said to the girls, oh, get dressed or whatever. And Ella was like, I'm going to put this on. I was like, Ella, you're not wearing that. Is she? And I was about to say, you know, it's your best jumper or whatever it is. You wear that one. We're only in the house. And I thought, get it on. Yeah. Get it on. Wear what you want. Just get everything on. Get your makeup on. Wear the clothes you would normally wear. And just have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Not? If not now, then when?
I know.
Now is a good time to shed a lot of the pressure that is suddenly irrelevant. You know, one of the things a lot of the listeners won't know about me is when I'm not doing this, I also run a product design business. So I'm often expected to be a little bit more corporate-y and dressed up, whereas now there's no need. So I can wear what I want. I can be dressed down. I can wear quirky clothes. I can just look however the fuck I want to look for a bit. And so, you know, make the most of that. There is going to be a lot of pressure on all of us right now, adapting to these changes on our finances. Absolutely. And we're already working hard to like plan how to survive that, Danielle and I. But at the same time, there's also things that are going to be less pressure right now. So it's good to make the most of those as well.
Absolutely. I must say, though, before you carried on, when I heard you say it's my excuse to do things a lot slower, when Bobby and I are together recording the podcast every Monday, we'll often go for walks, you know, and we'll have a wander because we're recording in the city centre. So we'll walk up through town and we'll grab a coffee or some lunch and we'll have a nice stroll. I say it's a nice stroll. Bobby's about 6'9". So Bobby then walks really fast. It's like I call him the BFG in town.
There's going to be someone out there that really thinks I am 6'9". I'm 6'3", but yeah.
Bobby like marches through the city. And actually, it's not even just your height, because I'm not small, am I? I'm like 5'8". But Bobby walks really fast and marches. So I'm just wondering, when you said it's your exclusive, you used to do a lot slower, when you went to Tesco, did you stroll? Or did you and Kat do your general march and sprint walk to the shops?
I mean, we were walking a lot faster on the way there than the way back by the time I'd stocked up on my Nutella, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. That weighed you down a bit, forced you to slow your roll a bit.
It did. But it was actually really weird because we walked, because we never normally go there, and we took a different route and walked through an area of the jewellery quarter in Birmingham that I've never really walked through that specific part. So there we are going past all these restaurants being like, oh, that looks really good. We should try there. And wow. Discovering all these places that right now we can't go to.
I know, yeah, that's ironic as well. Like, oh, actually discovering our little town. Oh, we actually won't be going there for the foreseeable future. But still, good to know. Good to put in your back pocket.
It sounds weird. I really enjoyed that trip because when you are inside more, going out does become more of an event. And to go to a big Tesco, it was really nice to go and be like, ah, there's actually loads of stuff that we can buy here, despite what the news would have us believe. That being said, not a loo roll for love nor money.
Not a loo roll anywhere, is there?
But we have enough to be keeping us going, luckily. We have said amongst ourselves, like, if it does come down to it, like, there is always the option of showering.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got nothing but time, so.
Yeah.
What else should we talk about? So changes for me, I am in a lot more. Normally I spend a lot of time racing around the city and indeed the country. All of that's been placed on hold for now. Our guests, we do still have some scheduled in, although we'll be putting off releasing those usual episodes at least for a little while, and we'll be recording over Skype with those now. I mean, our guests internationally, particularly our American guests, are over Skype anyway. Nothing's changed with them. So I think a lot of our guests have been quite glad of this being something that's not cancelled when a lot of their commitments have been. A lot of the retailers that I sell to through my product design and distribution business are closing, which is absolutely understandable and the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are busy locations. And so it's definitely in the public interest for those to close sooner rather than later.
Well, how does that impact you, though? This podcast still going is great, but like you said, you're the business.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that to people, that it's weird that the podcast, the kind of most non-linear creative thing I do, is the thing that is currently my most stable source of income. So that's been a bit of a weird flip. It is definitely going to impact my finances. And like many people, I'm working to be as proactive as I can with that. I don't know. I feel like this is one of the areas I have an advantage as well. I'm used to kind of survival and self-motivating and relying on myself. So I have been looking at other jobs for the meantime. There's a lot of temporary jobs going related to the NHS, kind of more like admin and organizing side of things. Also, a lot of supermarkets are recruiting right now. So there are certain industries that actually need a lot more staff right now, where others don't, and people are losing their work. You know what? Right now, nothing is normal. The world is upside down. And you know what? If that means I go work in a supermarket for a few weeks and that's my version of trying to do my bit, then I'm absolutely up for that. So I think I've kind of reconciled that my life isn't going to be usual for at least the next little while. And as someone that's keeping up very closely with the news, I fully expect and indeed endorse the country closing down further for the sake of reducing the spread of the virus. I think it's necessary. And I'd rather tougher measures are taken now, if that's going to mean that this whole pandemic doesn't drag on for as long and we can limit the spread and the way it affects people's health, even if this is going to affect people's lives in other ways. Yeah, I've been keeping up closely with the government daily briefings. I never really thought I'd be in a situation where I'm so looking forward to seeing Boris every day at 5 p.m. Whatever we think about individual politicians, I don't think any of us thought we'd be all tuning in to hear from any prime minister every day at 5 p.m.
I know.
It's just not normally in our usual routine or interest level. But it has been a way for me to keep a track on how things are changing, what I need to do. Obviously, the podcast gives me a productive reason to stockpile all that information. And also, it's been great to see the measures that are coming out and how quickly they are coming out. There's so much more that needs to be done.
How do you think they've responded?
I think the response has been appropriate, the steps that have been taken. At the time, particularly when the advice first came out last Monday to avoid going to anywhere where mass gathering is happening, like restaurants and bars. When that advice first came out, it felt very sudden and very quick. But now looking back on it, I'm glad that that response was taken so quickly. I do kind of wish that rather than giving businesses that uncertain week between being told that people need to avoid them and then being told they need to shut, I don't know, for the sake of them getting to stay open a few more days, if that actually was helpful to the stress level of employers and owners. I don't know if that was the most productive thing to do, but I understand that it is a massive and very serious thing to implement.
And every time I think about, you know, and hear people, and everybody's got an opinion and everybody's got a judgment, I just think, like, I know it's Boris's job and it's the government's job, but I just think, who the hell could make any decisions any quicker? Like, he has no idea. He's only a human guy. I know they've got more stats and figures and, you know, influencers around them and scientists and medical people, but they can only do what they can do and try and do it the best they can. Like, I just don't believe that their intentions aren't well informed. They might make mistakes. They might not have done things quickly. There may be more room to learn from other countries, but they've just ultimately had to look at our country and decide what is best for us. You know, I'm sure people who have in bad situations, like nurses, doctors, frontline staff without PPE, would have a completely different view to me. And understandably, don't get me wrong, my view isn't that the government have been amazing and everything's perfect, and I'm sure theirs isn't of themselves. But as it stands, do I dare to say I think they're doing what they can? You know, I just try and be a bit diplomatic. I think it's really easy to get pissed with them and a bit judgy, and that doesn't do any of us any good, does it?
Yeah, and that's what they keep saying on the news, that these measures are unprecedented. That as much as we can naturally focus on the gaps in the support that's out there so far, the level of support is still continuing to develop. And alongside that, we're actually going to be putting together a section on our website for anyone that wants to look up further information on the support that's out there, both in terms of from a mental health point of view, but also in terms of finances and physical health as well. So check out our website, mentalpodcast.co.uk, and that information will be up by the time this episode is released. And so with that said, we should talk a little bit about our mental health and what we're doing so far. So for me, I'm definitely taking the opportunity to be more social, to make the most of my extroverted approach to life. I'm generally speaking to several close friends, family members each day. And that sort of helps me feel less, I guess, makes me feel less socially distanced. Yeah, and definitely.
Have you had any tricky situations trying to help anyone with the tech? Or is everyone savvy in your family? You're all like on board, online? you know, Zoom in.
I mean, I've been mainly keeping to phone calls, to be honest. I'm like,
right.
For my generation, I'm very comfortable with phone calls in a way that a lot of people don't seem to be. I love a phone call. I don't enjoy messaging. Partly with my dyslexia, I find it hard work. I'm assuming you have an example to share.
Oh, only my little auntie Jane earlier on. You know, it took us about an hour to get her going. But what amazed me was the fact that she wasn't even sure how to do a WhatsApp video, which was the tool we needed for me to help her access then the family, you know, the tool that we were going to use. So we were like three steps back before we got there. But, you know, it's really important for us to get into a family chat with her. And I know she won't mind me saying, but, you know, she suffers quite a lot with her mental health and is at home and quite isolated and on her own. So it was really important that we got her. She loved seeing my children and we could show her the kids on the trampoline and all that kind of stuff. And so she was really excited to see them all and going through what they've been learning, because she was an English teacher and we haven't seen her for ages. And I think that this is going to absolutely, we'll be on every week or every 3 or 4 days. And I think she'll just be absolutely buzzing. I think what will be great is that when we're all back out into the world, this kind of communication will stay, because now, you know, my Auntie Jane would never have felt, you know, that she could do a video conference call. And she was a bit taken aback, you know, when you first log in and your face comes up on the screen. She was a bit like, oh, that's me. Oh, my God. And we all had a bit of a giggle about it. And I could tell she was a little bit anxious and a bit like, oh, my God. Like, I'm not, you know, but she loved it. And the fact that it will continue, I can't see us ever stopping. She'll be really enjoying that. And they're the kind of things, like you said, that the communication, keeping that up is absolutely crucial. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've found throughout my kind of mental health ups and downs, I found it easier to communicate with people via text or on the phone or through Zoom or Skype than sometimes I have face to face. So hopefully, you know, if there's anybody else out there that feels like that, this again is a great opportunity to connect with those that you haven't for a long time. But, you know, not having to do that whole going out and meeting somebody and be face to face, and you know, everybody's a bit like, oh, what have you been up to and what's this and what's that. And I think things would just be a little bit easier and a bit calmer for people to be able to just, you know, in their own time decide when to just log on and have a call with somebody or video.
Yeah, and definitely I'm finding it quite energizing speaking to friends, checking up on people, to know that those that matter to me most in my life are safe and are taking measures to keep themselves safe is hugely reassuring at a time when it can seem like so much is going wrong, to actually know that the people that most matter to you are okay. I'm definitely finding that helpful. And yes, like you say, it is changing the way we communicate. I am speaking to people that matter a lot to me, but people that I generally don't speak to as frequently as this. And everyone's taking the time to check up on each other, which is something we need more of in our society.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully if you're listening to this and you do think any of this resonates for you, or if it would resonate for someone in your life who may be struggling at this time or may have mental illness that will be affected by what's going on, now is as good a time as ever to check in on them. Now is also as good a time as ever to commit to things personally. You know, have you been meaning to stop smoking? Have you been meaning to start doing yoga at home? You know, we suddenly have an opportunity to restructure our lives and force positive in a time that can feel anything but.
Absolutely. Sorry, were you going to carry on then? I thought you might have finished the can't feel anything but.
No, I have. That was my wee speech.
Because I was going to say as well, just on a serious note, as much as we're talking about communicating and keeping those levels of communication up, sometimes in the house or out the house, you don't want to. I don't want to. I know you don't want to, Bobby, and that's fine. I think we might get into a situation again where people are feeling a little bit pressured to get on the family chat, to get on the social group, to go on to Zoom, to go on to Skype. And just as much as you may not want to go out and see people, you might also not want to join in that. And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to understand that we're all going to experience ups and downs. And I just think whatever's right for you, you need to do. But maybe if you don't want to join in communication, or you're feeling like you just want to kind of lie in bed and not get dressed up that day, perhaps read a book, or perhaps watch a movie. Or I know that we've got some great little things that we've been interested in and have kept us laughing or interested over the last few days, if not in general, just so that your mind isn't thinking about COVID-19 or not being able to go to work, maybe, you know, distract yourself. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there, that sometimes, and I have even felt like that, not really in the mood to come on this family group video. Don't really want it.
Yeah. Just because of all these changes, you are still allowed boundaries. I have never had a family WhatsApp group. That is not going to change now. I see how they stress out other people, and I'm going to opt out of that. Lighthearted note, of all the things to just drive past my window, the Google car has just gone past. So you know how Google Street View happens because cars drive around? That's how they record Street View. They send little cars around with like cameras attached.
No,
360.
Way.
Yeah, so the Google car has just gone past. So like in the next few months, I can probably look up Google Street View and see how quiet the street was compared to every other street probably nearby.
Wow.
So yeah.
I never
signs of life persevering. Google, no doubt, are doing just fine. They'll be getting more searches than ever. YouTube seem to have put so many ads on recently, so that, I mean, they'll be raking it in. So that's maybe another idea for where to go work if you need a new workplace. Let's all go work at Google. They've got money.
Yeah.
Cool. And so is there anything else you wanted to mention, or shall we start wrapping up? Could you hear me stretching while I did that?
No, I couldn't actually. No, I think we can wrap up. We did touch on anxiety and things to do, a few bits. Oh, we did say, should we give them some things, some funny things that we've been, that we like?
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Okay. So I just wanted to say, I haven't had much time to be distracted with trying to edit and sort out work and reschedule everything. But I have been looking at James Corden, who I think is really funny. He's been doing a drop the mic, like hip hop battle on YouTube. It's so funny. He's had Kevin Hart, had Usain Bolt. So he's like, he's rapping, he's doing like rap battles against each other on his show. And I've just found that like comedy and those things that are just kind of laugh out loud, a really nice way to just get you smiling and getting you breathing and just enjoying something a bit different. So that's been my main distraction.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And I've got a few as well. There's an Instagram account that just shares funny content. Some of it is related to the current situation. Most of it's not, but all of it is funny and silly. And that is @goodnews_movement. The next thing is Shangela, who's a fan favorite from the reality TV series Drag Race. She did her own coronavirus song, which is really silly and really funny. And so I'll put a link for both of those in the episode description. And then the last thing is one of my all-time favorite TV sitcoms is returning with a new series on Friday. So tomorrow, if you're listening on the day this episode is released. And it's a funny show about a Jewish family living in London who every week meet for a Friday meal, and just chaos ensues. It's so good. It's a great description.
I've never watched it. I've never heard of it before.
Oh, it's honestly one of the best sitcoms ever, in my opinion. And I have seen one of the characters do stand-up as well, the taller of the two brothers. Not 100% confident of his character's name, but yeah, I totally recommend that. And there's already been previous series you can go binge on. I believe it's on Netflix as well as Channel 4's catch-up service as well. It may be that international listeners can find it on Netflix, so yeah. Maybe tune into that, Danielle. You can tell me next week what you think.
I will. I'll give it a go.
Cool. All right. So that is everything from us for now. We'll be back again next week. We'll be keeping up the same release schedule. This is one part of your routine. We are not looking to change. So yeah, stay safe, follow the government guidance, and together we will get through this. That's all I need to say, isn't it? The end. Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.